Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Draw right circle. Blues win it. High slot, Parayko. Wrister blocked again. This one by Nordstrom. 8 seconds left. Corrali fires it off the glass. Five. They battle for it. Parayko, right circle. Centers deflected. Rask the save. Shen digging away as Achari buries him. And the horn is going to sound. Rask pulls himself out of there. The Boston Bruins roar back with four unanswered goals. And they win game one of the Stanley Cup Final by a final of 4-2 over the St. Louis Blues.
All right, there's our final call. Again, evidence that the St. Louis Blues play a game straight out of 1977 in the lunch pail AC. Guess who got so excited about the Blues' first goal? Which, if you didn't see it from start to finish, it started with Jaden Schwartz, who has 12 postseason goals, throwing a cross-corner dump from his own blue line into the corner of the Bruins' offensive zone. This is the play where it was an icing touch-up, or, you know, the it's not a touch-up anymore, but it was an icing race between Chara and Tarasenko, and Chara lost it by about 10 feet. And that's how the whole play started. And then there was, you know, one forward crashes down one wall for the Blues, and another forward crashes down the other wall for the Blues. It sort of kicks into the middle. The Bruins can't clear it, and the puck's in the net. Like, Claude Julien took his pants off to this, but not like this guy. Listen to how excited this guy got. He may sound familiar to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, before this series started, Maroon said something in the paper that I absolutely love.
And again, I have to stop it with the paper thing.
I had it delivered with my milk. That's the way I like to ingest the paper. I still get milk delivery, and I read the newspaper so I can get the ink stains on my old fat fingers.
So Grapes not only orders the newspaper and reads the newspaper, you'll hear here he actually saves the newspaper.
Maroon said something in the paper that I absolutely love. He said, we dumped the puck in, and it must be tough on the defenseman to turn back and get the puck. And I kept that paper because that's how the Bruins used to play. Wait a minute. That's how the Bruins used to play. We would dump. We wouldn't even look. And the right winger and the left winger put the puck in. If you're not there, it's your fault. I want to show you how the first goal can watch Schwartz. Never mind the 12 goals he got. Watch him put the puck in. He doesn't even. He sees the guy going. Watch his eyes. Look at his eyes. Sees his eyes. See his eyes. Now look at him. He ices the puck. He knows. Poor Chara's got to go back and get it like Maroon. Now watch the goal. See, watch the goal coming up. That's how you play the game. What's that analytical?
Okay, we got to stop it there. He's about to make a point how the modern statistical world.
Is that analytical?
What do you call them, nerds?
He's trying to say the nerds will tell you, never give up possession of the puck. It's all about puck possession. Corsi, Fenwick, things of this nature. It's all about puck possession. But Grapes is so anti-analytical.
Analytical.
He has a hard time even saying the word.
Is that analytical?
The analytics.
Yeah.
They might say it's not a good idea to try, but it was perfect. Yeah.
But you give up possession of the puck. Yes, I heard that. I heard that over and over and over again. Don't you understand? You don't give it up. You put it in the net. Must have been a nightmare to play us like that, and that's the way to play it. Put the puck in. The winger's got to be going, just like Maroon said. That's how they're winning.
Okay, so we must have been a nightmare to play the Bruins in the 70s. I mean, it was, except you never won. Except you never won. So I don't know how far you should go celebrating that style of play, especially when the league has really evolved. So St. Louis still plays that way. Grapes loves it. But I think it's a matchup advantage for the Bruins, who are a little more modern in their approach.
I mean, again, watching it last night, I don't know how you can't feel that way. Like, you know, looking at the Blues, I went, oh, my God. Like, this is time machine kind of stuff. I didn't think it was that bad.
Okay, back to your phones, as promised. Thanks for holding on, everybody. Mike in Wakefield, what do you got?
What's going on, gentlemen? Yeah, that's a great point about the East-West type thing. And I think Chubby Charlie Mack really proved that when he just went to the net and puck packed it. And speaking of Chubby Charlie Mack, man, boy, did I get an empty goal net in my shorts after that Krug hit. I was something right there.
Okay, we'll get to Krug in a second. But look, you know, look at the guys that had success last night. Johansson went to the net.
Shifty, yep.
McAvoy's goal went to the net. Corrali, first goal, all about just going to the net. As opposed to this dipsy-doo stuff.
Well, Clifton, too, as well. I think it's another guy.
Just go to the net.
Yeah.
Shoot puck, go to the net.
I mean, really, again, you know, their goals last night, I'm throwing out the empty netter. Two defensemen, right? I mean, you know, one from Clifton and another guy from the game winners from a fourth-line center. Like, you know, there's nothing fancy about it is the point.
Tom in the car. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, guys, real quickly, you know, this series is far from over. I mean, my gosh, St. Louis, you know, they play some tough opponents in the playoffs. They made adjustments. They've proven to be very resilient, tough-minded. They outskated. But if you remember that first game against Carolina, Bruins were clearly outskated speed-wise.
Yep.
And then the next game, they made the adjustments. They're going to make adjustments. That's part of playing a series. Also, Mike, I agree with you 100% on the Bobby Orr. I call the Bobby Orr statue the fake statue. And the reason for that is if you go back and actually watch the play, he didn't trip. You know, you would have thought he was up in the air and with one hand he pushed the puck into the net. No.
So listen, I'm just going to stop you. The play was the play. The player was the player and the team was the team. I'm not taking anything away from the man, the athlete, or that team. All-time player, iconic team, important to all of you. Not taking any of that away. I just want Doris Kearns and Buck to mention the fact that it was a 4-0 sweep. That's all I want, is a little bit of context. And I say the same thing about your 67 Red Sox. You actually lost. On Buckner, we got a couple calls on that. Here's Mike and Lowell says, I'm wrong about Buckner. What am I wrong about, Mike? Michael!
How's it going?
Good. What do you got, Mike?
Mike, I have to disagree with you about the Bill Buckner take. You weren't from this town. You didn't grow up here. I remember my mother waking me up from, you know, when I was going to bed on a school night from the second grade telling me the Red Sox were going to win the World Series.
You were in second grade, Mike. Did she explain to you the game was tied when it went through his legs?
No, the game was not tied when she woke me up. She said the Red Sox were going to win the World Series. Yeah, I saw Schiraldi come on the mound.
No, so I understand. Blame Gedman or Schiraldi or Bob Stanley or one of those guys.
Oh, you got plenty to blame on that list that night. It was a long list. Buckner just happened to be the last guy with the ball rolling through his legs.
So that's who you take it out on?
Yes. I mean, that's who people took it out on. And look, I remember, I mean, I've had this discussion over the years with people constantly because it wasn't Buckner's fault. I mean, he just happened to be the last guy.
No. He should have made the play.
Sure, but the game was tied.
I'm not doing that thing.
They'd already blown the lead at that stage.
That's what people just leave out. So when your mom woke you up in the second grade, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but it's just not that valid when you're seven.
It's also irrelevant. Like, so she woke you up, big deal. What's that got to do with Buckner?
But take it out on the guys that actually blew the lead. Paul and Bridgewater, go.
Thanks. Well, Bill Buckner, may he rest in peace. You know, I was in a cult. Still am, by the way, when he played in 87, and Bill Buckner hit over 100 RBIs. People don't remember him. He was just like Dustin Pedroia, a real game, a great guy. And it was a weird time to be in Boston because in game five, there were two games left. And what happens? You see Wade Boggs crying in the dugout like they lost the series. He's crying. The veterans on that team, the whole team gave up. It wasn't.
Okay, let me just stop.
They didn't give up.
He didn't cry after game five. It was game seven, I thought.
Yeah, I don't remember if it was six or seven. I think it was seven when he cried. And they didn't give up. They were up 3-0 in game seven. Everybody forgets that. They went up 3-0. Evans hit a two-run double, I think, put him up 3-0, or maybe it was a one-run double.
And I don't want to – the thing about he had almost 3,000 hits and was a great player, I don't care about that either. If he blew the game, he blew the game. And he should be remembered for blowing the game if he blew the game. He didn't blow the game. I mean, believe me, the play didn't help, but it was tied. You had to go back into the dugout and come out for the 11th after blowing a two-run lead with two outs and nobody on and something like 17 two-strike counts or something insane. And I don't think you were going to get out of your own way that night after you blew the 2-0 lead.
I mean, again, it was 5-3, two outs, nobody on. Single, 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 wild pitch error, game over. They lost. They gave up three runs. That's how it happened.
Left a little bit of a mark, didn't it?
Oh, my God. Like, you talk about that. Talk about traumatic moments or, you know, experiences in Boston sports history. That made Grady Little look like the Sound of Music, for crying out loud.
But again, it's just the context. You take it out on Buckner because that's the play everyone plays. And
correct.
Behind the bag and
right.
The whole thing.
Right.
But
it was over before then.
It was over before then.
Yeah, it was. And I still think the worst part of the whole inning was the wild pitch, which really was a pass ball. It's still like, again, and anytime someone tells you the story, that's how they'll describe it. It was a wild pitch. It should have been a pass ball. We all agree on that, except for the jackass who was scoring the game, whoever that was. Like, and I joke about that. I don't even know who it was. But it was, Gettman should have had it. Stanley threw a two-seamer that spun in, and Gettman kind of reached for it, went off his glove. And, you know, meanwhile, Schiraldi was out there, and you want to talk about historic skid marks in your pants. You know, Calvin Schiraldi had him on the mound at Shea Stadium that night.
You looking for topics on the baseball reporters?
No, I think we might touch on that. But
it's not a bad one.
It's how many years later?
We'll go back.
33 years later, and I'm still pissed off about it.
So much freaking winning in this town, folks. We'll go back as long as it takes to find a game you actually lost. And we'll pound you over the head with it. It's Felger and Mass here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or get GamblingHelplineMA.org.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports
Hub. Wedged to the near hash marks. Out in front.
Wow, what a battle in front of the net going on right now.
Here's Heinen over the line, high slot.
Tori Krugman. Perron still going at it.
Left of the net, back of the cage, Krejci. Turns, looks, centers, McAvoy shoots off Achari's leg and wide. Krug came in and just hammered one of the Blues. I think that was Robert Thomas. Oh, Krug just ran him over. And Krug with his helmet up is giving it to the referee.
No bucket, old-time hockey. Tori Krug with a battle in front of the net with David Perron and a long one after the power play. Thomas saw him coming to the last second. Clean hit by Tori Krug. He came a long way. He wanted somebody. David Perron just tackled Krug in front of the net. Then the two of them went at it. Referee just decided to let it all go. You either call them both. You don't call either one of them. They didn't call either one of them. But Krug, he was going to finish somebody. Full chops from the bench as he came to the bench.
One of the highlights of this game for everybody in the stands was third period. You're having a battle down in front. All of a sudden, your helmet comes off. Most players would have come to the bench. Not you, not Tori Krug. You had a gleam in your eye. You had something. Then you came down on Robert Thomas and throw a big hit. Tell us what happened on that old play. What was going through your mind?
Just a battle in front and trying to keep your cool. And luckily, when I got up the ice, I had a chance to make a good hit. And it is what it is. It's a fun part of the year, and everyone's doing the job, and it's fun to battle out there. So it was nice.
Right, there was a play that everyone was talking about last night, and for good reason, has a chance to be an iconic play to carry through on the theme here, Buckner or. And in keeping, Maz wants to ask a question then.
Okay, so again, ultimately, what did that hit accomplish?
Well, I think it was a high leverage situation. It was a one-goal game in the third period of the Stanley Cup playoffs in a series that, at that point, was in doubt.
Sure. So they already had the lead, right?
Yep.
Okay. Did it create a turnover or something that led to a goal?
You were in the building, right?
Yeah.
What was the mood of the building and the team and the whole thing after the hit?
It exploded. So all I'm saying is that practically speaking, take the emotion out of it. I loved the hit, too. I thought it was great. It was awesome. Was it a key play in the game?
Ish.
No. No. They already had the lead.
So I said ish.
Yeah. I mean, again, now you want to tell me that it sets a tone for the balance of the series or, you know, it shows the Bruins aren't going to be pushed around. It is symbolic in some I agree with all that 100%. But tactically speaking, strategically speaking, did it have any impact on the game? And my answer is no.
Right. I think the Clifton goal was more important.
Yes. Yeah.
With what you just said, though, Maz, I also think it's too early to say. Like, if they end up sweeping this Blues team and they somehow play softer in the next three games and that happens, well, then, yeah, I think that it had an impact.
Yeah. So, but again, I would look at that and say, so the hit in game one made them softer in game three?
It's more important than the Orr goal. The series was still in doubt when, yeah. And we don't even know. And I'm saying, like, the series is over. It ain't over. But when Torey Krug executed that hit, you didn't know who was going to win. We don't know who's going to win.
True.
When the Orr goal went in, it was just a matter of when, not if.
Yeah, I'm just telling you that again. If it had led to the turnover that created the Corrali goal.
I understand. Now
we're talking. I'm just saying that, again, it's the imagery of it.
How do you feel about Krug in general?
He's impressed me, and I feel like I almost feel like I owe him an apology. Not that I'm really going to do that.
Apologize.
But I've never been a huge crew guy. You know, I value his contribution on the power play. He's highly skilled, but I think he's a third pairing defenseman. I've always felt that way, and he's a little bit of a specialist. You put him on the third pair and on a championship team, he's not a top four defenseman, except that he now may be. And you know, for a guy that I always thought his size was a huge liability in the defensive zone.
In today's NHL, maybe he is.
Yeah, but series to series. And again, I felt this way earlier in the playoffs because I know I've told you this. He battles his ass off against bigger guys. Like, it really is inspiring to watch him play sometimes because you look at him and go, this guy shouldn't be able to fight against that guy.
And he's a key guy in terms of their makeup and all that stuff. They love him. They love him.
Mike, that pairing last night was their best defensive pairing. Those two guys were good.
And so
Krug was good in that game last night.
So they're being rewarded for it. All right, so there's your thought on a potentially iconic moment. Here's one thing we have talked very little about, and it's so damn refreshing. I can't even express it in words how refreshing it is that we haven't talked about the goaltending. Jesse and Haverhill. Go ahead, Jesse.
Hey, I just want to make mention of, like, these, you know, precedent that's been there in the series before is these young goalies that we're facing are getting in their own heads. So, like, you see Raz took a goal early on last night and he just looked like he shook it off. Didn't affect him very much, but you could see from our very first goal that their goaltender is shaking his head and he's getting in his own heads like they're defeating themselves.
Okay, the goaltending, which I think was such a non-factor last night. It's rare to have a Stanley Cup game where goaltending was such a non-factor. I think Rask was a virtual non-factor. And I don't mean that negatively or positively. I mean, he let up 2 goals on 20 shots, which is not a good, you know, save percentage. But he could have done nothing about the 2 goals.
The second one in particular.
Lasers. The first one you hold against him?
Well, only because, you know, and even Olchek said something on the broadcast. He was a little deep in the crease. It would have been a terrific save. But to me, that sort of falls into the class of, you know, there was an opportunity there to really make a big stop.
Well,
but the guy, you know, he rang it off the post, too. He snuck it right in there.
For the most part, I don't think there's Rask. I don't put it either on Rask. I mean, not even close. And not that you're blaming him, but I just think there was almost nothing he could have done about the 2 goals. And so he made 18 other saves, and I didn't write down a single one. I didn't write down. There might have been a little flurry after you had the empty netter and you were up 2. And St. Louis had a little pressure down there, like with some garbage time stuff that I think maybe he saved on a deflection that might be worth noting. But other than that, when you watch the highlights, there's not a single Rask thing in the whole pack, and there's no reason for it. He didn't have to make a save.
You could have won that game with a lot of people in goal last night.
With traffic cones.
Yeah.
And that's not a dig on Rask. I mean, it was weird. There was that kind of game where, goaltending for you was really not much of a factor. On the other side, I think Bennington showed his competitiveness. He's tough and sort of maybe even dirty. And he has that. He's a very good stick handler, a very good puck handler, I should say. And I think on the 2 or 3 goals, I think he wants them back. I think the McAvoy goal he could have had, and I think that the game winner a play earlier in the sequence. There was a little shot in from the point on Zdeno Chara that easily could have been gloved and held, and he didn't hold it and landed on the ice. And the next thing you know, Achari and Corrali are doing their thing. So I think Bennington was good. I think he has a lot of good qualities that I would like in a guy, his competitiveness. But I also think he sprung a few leaks last night.
He did. And so my opinion of him hasn't really changed. Again, it was consistent with what I saw in the pieces of the San Jose series that I saw. He, you know, he's good. I don't know if he's great. And to beat the Bruins, he might have to be great.
Kevin in the car on the officiating. Go ahead, Kevin.
So I think the Krejci hit there was more embellishment on that Blues player. I mean, he saw Krejci coming and he ducked and he, you know, he nicked his head and then Char broke the stick. And I think that's why they didn't call him on that. But Maz, my God, what an a-hole calling out Krug on that hit. That was, I mean, it's the next day. Just, that was great.
I didn't call him out. I loved it too. What are you talking about?
You know, you have to make that, like, no, like that voice, that tone of voice, and, you know, you just kind of have to, like, put that edge on it.
Yeah, we do. We have to put the edge on it. Yep. Correct. Welcome to Felger and Mass. 2-6 every day, 98.5 The Sports Hub. 10 years and counting. Yep, we're going to put a little edge on it. Little mustard.
Again, it's the highlight. It's the emotion of, again, which I love, too. I love it, too. I love the fight in Krug. I love all of that. But, like, when people say it was the highlight of the game.
Well, it was the highlight of the game.
Well, visually.
Yes.
Right? But it wasn't, you know, I can think of five plays in the game that were more impactful.
Fair enough.
Like, you know, so that's all I'm saying. It was not the most impactful play of the game and not really even in the discussion.
And the Krejci call is a makeup call. That was a brutal call. Brutal. I mean, technically his upper arm hit the guy's shield, but it was a Blake, I think, fell into him. Makeup call. You were up 4-1 in penalties at the time. You were going to go on the PK. They were going to try and get St. Louis another chance or two. And I'm surprised they only got, after you got the four straight power plays, I said, uh-oh, you know, get the PK ready. You're going to be killing off a bunch of penalties here because they're going to even up or at least get it to 4-3 or something like that. They almost always do. And that got it to 4-2, which I was totally expecting. And then you got the Coyle interference call, which was the right call. He was that of all the ones, that was maybe the most blatant. Holding Coyle going down the middle of the ice there. And so you ended up 5-2, which is rare. You're going to get, I don't think you're going to be on the high end of it come up in game two. I think you're going to have to kill off some penalties in game two.
I was expecting, you know, once it got to 4-1 in penalties, I was expecting Celtics, Bucks, and Milwaukee's evening out the free throws at the end of the game. That's what I thought it was going to be. So last night favored the Bruins. There's no question about it. The only thing I'm disappointed about in that whole thing was that the Bruins only got one power play goal. Like, you know, their power play, again, too many turnovers.
20% is still not bad.
It's not horrible. It's not. But the way they've been going, they can play better than
well,
that.
Well, they were too cute.
Oh, God.
Too much dinking around.
Those cross-ice passes over and over and over again, trying to get it through the redwood trees in the middle of that St. Louis defense. The forest there that is that St. Louis defense. You're not getting it through there.
Here's Murray's update, then more.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It was so sweet to win, but it hurts to lose. Like, that'll never leave you. It's going to haunt me.
Here comes the Shin. He shoots, he scores! Braden Shin. Tarasenko shoots, he scores! Tarasenko! And the Blues, a minute into the second, have taken a 2-0 lead.
The second goal, it was my bad, you know, and it's not like they made a great play or something, you know. We know we have a lot of skills in our group, so we knew the goals would come eventually.
Corrali over the line, high slot, into the far circle. Center's deflected, they score! McAvoy wheels over the line, high slot. Shoots, he scores! Corrali shoots, he scores!
The focus for us, I think, is just playing our game, and we're good when we're skating and we're hard on pucks, and I think the physicality just comes out just naturally from some of our guys just to compete in us, and you saw that, like, with the hit from Torrey. And
Crew came in and just hammered one of the Blues. I think that was Robert Thomas.
Just glad I got a haircut a few days ago.
he just got a haircut a couple of days ago, so it was looking pretty good.
Hey, they just showed Robert Kraft on the video board.
Oh, boy.
There's some videos I guess he doesn't mind being a part of.
Oh! Held in by Marchand. Shoots, he scores! Brad Marchand got to the loose puck at the far. Drills it home to give the Bruins a 4-2 lead in game one.
Here, I think we picked up our game a little bit. We got a little more physical, and we started moving our feet and moving the puck, and we ended up spending more time in their end and didn't give them as much room, and I think that's kind of when we started taking the game.
Jimmy Stewart's look back there at game one. Quite a line there by the St. Louis radio crew there on Robert Kraft. Pretty good.
I thought the people in St. Louis were supposed to be nice.
Not those guys.
They just showed Robert Kraft on the video board.
Oh, boy.
There's some videos I guess he doesn't mind being a part of.
Oh, burn. I think they got a little too excited about it. If they just let it breathe, I think they would have been a little better.
Just say it, move on,
good
get
line.
The laugh. Instead, they're adding.
Burn.
Yeah. Burn. Drum effects.
Burn. That's so bad, I don't even say something like that. Back to your thoughts. Steven Seekonk on the Blues. Yes, Steve.
Mike, I just like to see you making fun of Don Cherry over there. But in the 70s, there's two things that you don't understand. There's two rules. They didn't have the two-line pass over there. You couldn't do that.
Yep.
And when you were iced the puck, we got there first. It wasn't icing no more. It wasn't automatic.
I understand. You know what I also understand?
In the 70s over there, that's the way he likes to play
Let me tell you what I do understand. You never won. You never won. You always got your ass kicked by the Montreal Canadiens or teams with more skill. So, correct. All those things are true. But you also never won. So, do I have that right?
Yeah, no, I was going to say he forgot the third thing they didn't have, which was enough talent.
There was two rules over there that you're not saying over there about going into the court.
So, this is one of the guys that just keeps talking when we put him on hold or not. So,
it's like we're not even there.
I take him back off a hold. He's still going to be talking. You think?
Click over. See if he's still talking.
Steve, are you there? Sorry. I'm sorry, Steve. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just saying, Mike, there was different rules back then.
I understand.
You know, you're making fun of Don Cherry over there, but that's the way the rules were back then.
Okay.
It was everybody, five guys on defense.
Steve, would you understand the rules are different now, and the Blues still kind of play the same way?
Well, see, that's the thing, is he was praising the way the Blues play. So this is how you're supposed to do it. No, that's how you did it 40 years ago.
Right.
40 effing years ago. I'm telling you, I was surprised their game was as elementary as it is. Like, it was, at times I've watched them going, this is it? Like, and again, it's one game, so I'm not making any lasting judgments on the series. But if they don't bring more than that, they're in trouble.
We've got Joe in Pembroke on Torrey Krug's hit. Yes, Joe.
Hey, so Maz doesn't think that it was a big play in the game, but what he doesn't realize is that as a defenseman, your primary job when the puck is in the offensive zone is to keep the puck in the zone. If he doesn't step up and make that hit on Thomas, who's to say that they don't go down on a 2-on-1 or something like that and score and tie the game? So I'll take your reaction off the air. Thanks for the call.
Okay. I feel you're reaching, Joe.
Oh, he's reaching big time.
I feel you're reaching.
Apparently, I struck a nerve
to try and counter a... on the level of a-hole Felger and Maz takes, that one's pretty mild.
I'm not even sure it's it registers on the Richter scale.
And you also said you enjoyed it.
I know what you were going to call it.
The Richter scale?
Yeah. The Richter scale?
Felger and Maz Richter's comments? The rectal scale is what I mean to say. It was really the rectal scale. Small R for Felger and Maz standards.
God, it was... Oh, God, don't be baby. Seriously.
Can we just have our hit? Can we just enjoy our Tory Krug hit that is out of nowhere before you have to throw cold water on all of us? We enjoyed the hit. We were passionate about the hit. And you're like, it was okay.
No, you said it
was awesome. People are misconstrued what you said. I think, you know.
That's how I heard it.
Matt, so it's treated as the play of the game when there were probably five or six more impactful plays in the game for the Bruins, which I would agree with.
At least.
Okay? Momentum change.
There wasn't. You were in full control of the game when it happened. Full control. It was the most entertaining play. Can you
sure.
give me that?
Yeah.
Okay, so you'll allow that.
Yeah, again, I loved it. I was wildly entertained by it. I'm just saying, though, that this is, again, us reacting to the physicality, the emotion of it. And I'm not telling you that's an insignificant part of hockey. It's a significant part of hockey. But the comeback had already happened, and it was really just about closing the game out at that stage. I mean, that's all. I'm just saying, again, it was the image of it that we loved.
Yep.
But it's not like it created a turnover that led to the decisive goal or something.
So when Stu tells you you're being too negative, this is something you should pay attention to. This is like rock bottom sort of moments. Do you have something there, Jimmy?
It's just like, can we enjoy our hit? Do you have to just take a big steaming dump on Tory Krug's hit? Like, do you have to do that?
On sure. everything? Do we yeah. have to do it on every single
yeah,
thing?
I'm telling you, I'm not enjoying anything until...
It was a moment for me, Maz. It was a great moment for me.
I liked it, too.
I enjoyed the moment.
I liked it, too.
Do I have to hear you dump all over it
and that again? That ice level shot, that again, where the camera
momentum
behind...
Momentum change.
Oh, it was awesome. It was not a momentum change, please.
100% it was. Got the crowd back into it.
The momentum change in the second period, and the Blues never took it back.
This is a significant moment, because Jimmy Stewart will dump on anything. He's the first to drop his pants to take the dump on something.
Kyrie's leaving.
When he says, Maz, can I have one moment, please? That should tell you something. That's a check yourself at the door kind of moment.
It's like an intervention.
No, I
another one.
I've been reading these spots today out of nowhere. 888-986-6116. Addiction Centers of America. You give them a call.
What am I addicted to? Hate?
Yeah.
Take dumps.
The Kyrie take, as you just mentioned. Let's just do this again real quick, Jimmy Murray. Do you have that sound ready to go?
Yes. Give me one moment. I'll get that
Rick,
right in.
Rick Bucher, right?
Rick Bucher on Colin Cowherd. This is some good. This is a good combo right here.
All right.
On Kyrie Irving, more rumor mongering on where he's headed.
The latest that I've heard is that it's between Brooklyn and the Lakers.
Wow.
And I've heard that the Lakers and Kobe Bryant. Now, Kobe told me or indicated to me that he was not involved, that he was, hey, that's their deal. I'm not part of it. But I was told in the last 24 hours, Kobe has been busy recruiting Kyrie in particular.
Okay. So another Kyrie rumor that does not involve the Celtics. We've had a million of those. Who knows? Maybe the Danny's lying in the weeds and the Celts are lying in the weeds and you'll all go laughing home at the end of the day.
I feel pretty confident at this point. Pretty much every plugged in NBA talking head is naming the Lakers, the Nets, the Knicks. Hell, maybe you can get a Clippers thrown in there. Not once do you hear the words Boston and Celtics.
Only from the guys around here.
Yes.
So who knows?
Maybe the guys. Desperation.
I'm not. Look, they know more than me. So maybe the guys around here know what they're talking about.
He's Can you imagine if gone. He goes to Brooklyn? And I know we've discussed it, but I mean, if he actually picks it, the Brooklyn Nets over the Celtics. Tell me that's not a kick in the nutsack.
Quick, Chris and Rockland on Kyrie.
Lakers are next.
Come on, guys. Bon voyage, Kyrie Irving. Let him go to the Lakers. He's going to walk into that organization, look in, and the second he has a problem, LeBron's his coach, his GM, his owner, his trainer, right down the line, He's gonna walk right into that very same thing that he walked right the hell out. And why not let him go to either them or the Knicks? You got the two most dysfunctional organizations in the NBA.
So that's just it. If Kyrie leaves, a lot of you won't care. Or a lot of you will be glad for it, which is a switch, something you weren't expecting to feel when the whole thing started. Mike and Wubern, what do you got on the Krug hit?
You know, it's bad enough that I have to fight with the amateur neurologists online and the player safety, narcs. Tony, why are you dumping on this? It's one of the few actually violent moments that we get to enjoy in the playoffs nowadays, and you want to poo-poo it. And it comes, I'll tell you what, it comes from one of the...
Go.
It comes from one of the smallest Bruins on the team, and nobody from St. Louis stepped up. Like, how many times during the regular season do we see a big hit and then someone go and try to, like, you know,
it's a good point.
Make that guy answer for it? Nobody went to answer for it, and that's after Perron was giving him noogies for 5 minutes down there. Like, I think that was a huge moment for the Bruins, saying, you know what, we're not going to take your garbage. Here's the smallest guy on your team. He just laid out your young star. What are you going to do?
Well, that's a good point, and no response. So let's see.
Well, this is the response.
No, this is why I think it's too early to say. Because, again, if this ends up going 4 or 5 and the Blues just essentially have capitulated, then, yeah, that thing mattered, Maz. That hit mattered.
I mean, again, I have a hard time believing a hit in game one can, like, affect something in game three.
Well, when it was already no enjoyment in anything.
How about game two?
That's
why
not
would we
true.
Say we have game two first?
No, again, you're changing
I was on your
the
side
argument.
When this
I didn't
started.
Say I didn't enjoy it. I did. I enjoyed it tremendously.
How about game two? Why are you jumping to game three?
Okay, fine. Game two.
Thank you.
I was just sort of, you know, projecting down the series, because I think the deeper you go in the series, the more we're going to forget it and move on to the next thing. So I love the hit, too. Don't say that I didn't love the hit. I love the hit. I celebrated it just like everyone else did. I love the violence, too, Mike. I love all of it. I'm just telling you, it didn't really have that much of an impact on the game. That's all.
Jimmy?
Just a quick little, so I just read the, I apologize if this was in the sound clip and I didn't hear it, but Rick Bucher also told Colin that Kyrie Irving purchased a home in the New York area.
Which you had like 6 months ago.
I'm just saying.
Actually, Jimmy had Durant buying it for
Kyrie.
Durant bought it.
Transaction.
I mean, a real NBA person who's saying that. Interesting.
So, Jimmy, again, your latest intel is what?
I think it's the Knicks or the Lakers.
So the Lakers are serious. You think the Lakers have really jumped in there?
Yeah, but I think at the end of the day, Kyrie's going to be like, I don't want to play with LeBron again, even though they're a perfect match for each other.
Oh, my God. Those two.
I mean,
peas in a pod.
If he goes back to LeBron, that is one of the great pud moves of all time.
And one other detail to poo-poo the Nets thing is I talked to somebody who did a research project for the Nets. And the Nets came up with all these negatives on Kyrie Irving. So I don't think he's going there. I think that's agent speak.
If he goes to the Lakers, oh, my God, he will never live that down.
Okay, maybe something to touch on tomorrow. We will be back on Canal Street getting you ready for game two. So Felger and Maz, once again, live from FanFest at the Boston Sports Square. We're looking forward to that tomorrow.
Rubbing elbows with the folk
at 2 p.m. Coming up next, though, is the final word.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver. All the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew. 30 seconds. That's it. Done. Peace.
It's time to learn to hate the Blues.
Who the hell are these guys?
It's time to learn to hate the Blues.
St. Louis sucks.
It's time to learn to hate the Blues.
Let's go.
I know I need to hate the Blues, bro, but I don't know nothing about them. Teach me to hate them.
Their goalie, Jordan Binnington, he was with the Providence Bruins, but he wasn't really with the Providence Bruins.
You're making me confused.
Those Blues losers didn't have a minor league club, so they had to stash him here so he had somewhere to play.
So you mean he was like a spy?
Exactly, like Mata Hari.
The Blues and we want the cup.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The callers bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires? There is only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody. You got to explain your bit a little bit. Who's Mata Hari?
Mata Hari was a Dutch woman who was a spy for the Germans during World War One.
I knew it. Who's the most famous spy in world history?
Well, probably her. It's up there.
I can't really think of another one.
I mean, there's got to be, you know. I mean, there's that guy from the movie Breach, if you ever saw that.
I didn't.
Who sold all our intel to the Russians. He's in the cooler.
I thought there was one more. Anyway, let's not waste any more time. Go ahead. That's just another reason I hate the Blues.
All right, well, with the talk of Tim Thomas not being on hand for Game 1 last night and speculation of where he could be nowadays, let's go back to this classic moment from Felger and Maz from 2012 discussing Tim Thomas.
I have a lot of problems with the whole thing, one of which is, do we have to politicize everything now? Is that what we have to do? Is that the point we have reached? Because the last time I checked, a championship team getting invited to the White House was sort of a courtesy and a tradition. Like, it doesn't mean anything politically. No matter who the president is, if you've won a championship, and this is true of even college teams, you get invited to the White House. Cool. Let's go see what the place looks like. That's all it is. It is nothing more. So that's my first thing, that it was politicized. Secondly, if you have an issue with our government being too big, too intrusive, taking away the liberties of the people here, then go live somewhere else. You can work here and go live somewhere else. There's lots of people that do that. Hell, most guys in the NHL are not American. So you know what? Go live in Canada. Go live in Finland. I really don't care. But if your problem with it is the way the government is intrusive, then leave. Don't live here. We pretty much open the doors to everybody who comes in. And there are certain issues that come along with that. But if you don't like it, leave. And I'll tell you why I'm disappointed. Because during the summer, spring and early summer, Tim Thomas elevated himself in the eyes of the American public. He became this great story and symbol of what could happen if you worked hard here and kept at it. Don't play in the Olympic team either if you feel that way, by the way. You know, if that's what you believe, then don't represent the country in an international competition. The mentality that some people possess when it comes to bipartisanship. Like, I believe in different viewpoints. I believe in that. That's a good thing.
Go back to Finland.
Yeah, what's all that cackling about, though, in the background?
I don't know. I wonder if you and I think it was Beetle at the time, right? That was pre-you, Murray.
Yeah.
And you and Beetle were, like, you know, rubbing your thighs back there. So I don't know what the hell you guys were doing.
Guys,
that was not
edibles.
One of my finer moments.
It was the actual air broadcast as opposed to the produced broadcast of it. So that's why there's the cackling.
Gotcha.
Or we just added laugh tracks at the time.
Either way.
I live in Finland.
Oldie but a goodie. He lives in Idaho. Like, what's the... pretty close.
Maybe you could have picked Iceland.
I'll say it again, though. Bring him back and wave that flag. That's the guy you need there. Bring him back. Maz, what do you have come up on the baseball report?
Believe it or not, yeah, we're going to talk baseball. And you're going to get your, if you want to get your fix on the Red Sox, now's the time to do it because obviously the Bruins are in the Cup. So we're going to have a limited number of shows here in the next few days anyway. So we are going to talk about the series with the Astros over the weekend. I want to get to that. We certainly will touch on the game last night, but Dustin Pedroia, Bill Buckner, a lot of developments really in the last 3 or 4 days with the Red Sox. So the Astros series, Pedroia, Buckner will do it all.
Okay, Tom and Quincy, the rest of you holding on for the Sox, just hang on. Sorry I left you on the horn there for so long. Maz is coming up in 90 seconds, no commercials. We're back at it again tomorrow at 2 from FanFest. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
Hey, it's Felger here. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason heats up. It's super easy to get started with DraftKings if you're a first-timer. Try betting on something simple like your team to win. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple. And if you're new to DraftKings, just check this out. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You have to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SPORTSHUB. Again, new customers get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours, and you must use code SPORTSHUB to get in on the action.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.